Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
It's funny, like, it's not funny, but the tale of two shimmels. Like, Jude is this, she's an author. She's an advocate for Native American communities. I think she met Obama when he was in office. Like, she's done a lot of advocacy, and she's been really successful. And then Shoney just kind of dropped off the map.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
They have a younger sister that plays at Cincinnati, Milan. So, I don't know.
Yeah, again.
It's sad, man. Yeah. You never want to see that, you know. And no, I'm not changing the name of my dog.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7. Welcome in to hour number two of The Take. Ethan Moore, Dave Skull, Jack Grossman behind the glass, filling in for Sweeney and Strebel.
I just spilled water all over myself.
That's right. I won't stain.
I'm still not changing the name of my dog, by the way.
There you go.
Although I will say, in retrospect, I probably should have gone with a safe bet like Angel.
Yeah.
You know, we knew she was never going to get arrested.
Goodness gracious. Indeed, yeah. I mean, you always could, Shoney. I guess, right?
Poor Shoney.
Yep, named after Shoney's big boy.
You mean it's
now? She is now named after Shoney's big boy.
Shoney's Frisch's big boy.
What's your favorite thing?
Shoney's is not big boy. Shoney's is its own restaurant.
I thought Shoney's used to be big boy though.
No, Frisch's used to be. Frisch's is big boy.
Yes, I thought Shoney's also used to be big boy.
Is that, I don't think so.
Big boy.
I don't think so.
I like big boy.
Yeah, dude. I used to eat that Shoney's that used to be on Eastern Parkway.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, the offensive line Friday mornings we'd have to wake up real early for burnouts. So we'd get up and they'd just absolutely destroy it. They would always focus on one. All the players that weren't playing on Saturdays, they would focus on one part of your body. Was it Shoney's big boy too?
Yeah.
Man. Good job, Jack.
Yeah, Shoney's and Frisch's owned by the same company.
I stand corrected. Thank you. They used to take, like, all right, we're going to destroy your pecs.
Yeah.
You know, all right, we're going to absolutely blast your biceps, you know, your legs, whatever. I was gonna say blast your glutes, but I figure save that for the big stage. But you know, like, if they do your chest, you were moving your arms for the rest of the day. But after that, we would go, all the offensive linemen would go to Shoney's
feast
and just absolutely destroy that place.
Nice.
Like, you'd see the fear in the women's eyes that were working there. The workers, just like, we'd walk in, like, all right, drop more bacon immediately.
Please.
They're about to clear us out.
Well, speaking of clearing out, ESPN Louisville is your radio home for Louisville City FC. Terrible segue there. The boys in purple are back in action tonight. Lou City at Colorado Springs, 8:45 on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. You can also listen to it via the ESPN Louisville app. And don't forget to catch Soccer City on Thursdays from 6 to 7. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. So, Jeff Greer is on the call there. Go City.
Jeffy.
There we go. And then Major League Baseball this week. A variety of games for you to enjoy. White Sox at Brewers at 6 o'clock on Sunday. Our next broadcast of Tyler Mountainwater's coverage of Reds baseball begins tonight. The Cardinals at Cincinnati, 7 o'clock on ESPN 680, 105.7. Tomorrow at 6:40, and then Sunday at 12:40. All right, here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
All right.
Big Red Machine. Here we go.
1-5 since the All-Star break.
And the bats are 0-4, so there we go.
I'm a little, like, did I lose some fat credentials by not knowing that Shoney's used to be Big Boy as well?
Yes.
Can you take some, like, do I lose like, 20
you're
pounds?
Fine, dude. It's okay.
Am I forced to go lose some weight now?
It's okay. It's okay.
like, if only it worked that way.
I don't know if I ever knew that, but I certainly didn't know it now. Man.
Do we want to go back to the mean texts?
You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's do it.
Can't call him Biscuit anymore. Biscuits are good. Call him Crescent Roll.
Texter says, where is Jason Anderson? Still on vacation.
Well, yeah, he's in Kansas City. Jay Wade is the man. Does Ethan remember Keith Bowman? Yes, sir. Hello, Keith. Good fun times back there at Greek Row at U of L.
Texter says, Olive Garden is disgusting. Calipari's kind of Italian food.
Who's talking about Olive Garden? Did we bring up Olive Garden
yesterday?
Yesterday we brought it up.
Well, here's a nice text. Kentucky fan here who enjoys listening to you guys. Sorry you had bad experiences in Lexington. I was at that Stevie Got Loose game and people were pretty terrible.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. It's part of the deal. You go up there, it's your arch rival, you know.
Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, it's very nice.
By the way, speaking of that game, Justin Jeffries texted me and said, keep on talking about the glory days for me, buddy. He was on that team. What a mountain of a man.
You know what? Funny story. I was at that game as well.
Justin, your softball jersey is still in my car, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to play.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for that, pal.
Texter says, man, who's more of a greasy food expert, Biscuit or Crean? I don't know. We've both embarrassed ourselves now in the last 48 hours on that front.
Yours was worse, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to point that out. Part of my story was I used to clear out the bacon at Shoney's on every Friday morning during football season freshman year. I just forgot that they were Shoney's Big Boy at any point. You couldn't eat more than the hot dogs and Haley Minogue. There you go.
It's sad. It's sad. But also, it's well warranted.
Yeah.
I deserve all of the criticism, all the crap.
I mean, I still love you. Yeah. You know, yeah.
I mean,
that's a tough thing
I would
to do.
Be disappointed if you all didn't crush me.
Yeah.
If we accepted a five hot dog performance. You can't accept that performance.
If we just accepted it and moved on and didn't just crush you for it,
then we wouldn't even care about you. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's like we wouldn't even care about you.
That would make me sad.
Yes, if we didn't talk about it, it's just like, who cares what Jack did on Wednesday?
Yeah, you all would think, if you all would have said that, I was like, damn, they really think that little of me.
Right?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, and then we addressed it now to your face.
Yeah,
I did have a lot of fun doing that, though.
That's good, man.
It was a blast.
Texter says, missed the first part of the show. Louisville fan in Lexington. God bless you.
Oh, wow.
Shouldn't we be scared that the Big Ten takes Clemson and Florida State? Any buyout either school would pay would be made up with 1 year of the new Big Ten TV deal. No, right now, if you go with the average, we computed it this morning, if you go with the average payout, the ACC goes to each individual school, $32 million over 15 years. That's $480 million. I don't think any school is going to come up with $500 million.
No. And plus, doesn't the grant of rights to the ACC not expire until like 2037?
That's what he's saying. Like, yeah. It's 15 years till the end of the grant of rights, 2036. I believe that's right?
Yep.
And that's the number he was coming up with for having to pay the early buyout, which that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Big Ten makes a lot of money, but not that much money.
No.
Do you think Satterfield's house will be built by the time Louisville plays Kentucky?
We're interesting comments, though. Like, you guys replayed the interview. I heard it the other day when Drew interviewed Vince Tyrae down at ACC Media Days. And you guys replayed it this morning. Fine job this morning, by the way, what I caught of it.
Thank you, sir.
He had some interesting things to say.
Yeah.
He did. I thought his conversation with how he dealt with the Satterfield fallout was interesting. Like, he doesn't really pull punches, which is one thing that I appreciate about Vince Tyrae. I've liked most of what he's done. There's very few things that I've had issue with, and I won't really relitigate them because the most of the things that the majority of people care about and that actually have that much to do with the success of the athletic department, I think he's done a good job with. he sounded like he really didn't pull any punches. He said, you know, we had a discussion. It just seemed like, he goes, I think Scott wants to be here long term. You know, he said, I feel like his family has adjusted at this point. And it was a case of a coach that wasn't used to the situation. You know, he spent a long time in Boone. This is his first or his second head coaching job. And it's just kind of,
yeah,
this was the first time, you know, dealing with a flirtation midseason. Obviously, I will, because I like to protect myself, take all of that with a big grain of salt. But, you know, I believe what Tyree's saying from his point of view, you know, that he believes him.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they had a tough conversation after this happened, because frankly, you had to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no getting around it. He was dishonest, really, publicly, whether he meant to be or not. He was dishonest. He said he wasn't interested, didn't have a conversation, didn't want to have a conversation. Then within the week, he had a conversation without talking to his AD first, and kind of caught him by surprise. And it did sound like, you know, he mentioned Jimmy Sexton. He said, look, he's got an agent that knows the business and operates that way, and I kind of had to tell them that that's not how I operate.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be interested in other jobs, you need to tell me.
I mean, generally,
I mean, it's a sign of respect regardless. But if you're gonna have a flirtation or you're going to have a conversation with another university, you need to tell me. That's how we operate, and that's how we'll keep our relationship positive and productive going forward. Like, it's a good thing that other schools are interested in your coach. That's a good thing. If he continues to be successful for the next 3 or 4 years, he will continue to get job offers or interest from other schools. It will be untenable if he doesn't do it above board.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but I was surprised by that whole fiasco, because I think he handled the App State, leaving App State to come here,
really well.
It was fantastic. Like, he said, listen, I'm going to speak. I'm interested in the Louisville job. I'm going to wait until after.
A great deal of respect for his current employer.
Exactly. And then when all that happened, you're just like, man, I didn't think he was cut like that.
Right. And it's the whole idea of having respect for who you work for. Like, you remember when Charlie took the job at Louisville, Coach Strong, and he said, I'm not going to recruit any of the players that I recruited for Florida because I used their resources to recruit those kids, and it wouldn't be right. 4 years later, he's recruiting every commit that it was worth his time to take to Texas.
Yep.
You know what I mean? After recruiting them to commit to
Louisville.
So what
I'm hearing is the Louisville football job corrupts people.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, we saw it with Petrino. We definitely saw it with Petrino.
Yeah, he wasn't corrupt before he got here.
We saw it with Charlie, and now we're seeing it with Seth.
it's understandable why Louisville fans are so paranoid, because it's like, well, you wouldn't do it to them. But 4 years later, you didn't have any respect for our job.
Yeah.
You know, you had the utmost respect for App State because you were there for this many years. And 3 years later, it's like, no, 2 years later. But, you know, like, look, the only thing that's gonna repair that relationship with the fan base is going to be wins and time.
Yep.
That's it. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do.
It's winning and staying.
Exactly. I'm willing 100% to – look, I just want to play football. I just want to watch football. I just want them to win games. I am not one of those people that – you know, it's just like, just get it over with and get him out of here. Because there's a lot of people like that in the fan base at this point. They're convinced that he's gone. I'm not going to say, like, look.
It's hard to be a fan.
I'm saying, like, they're like, either win 10 games and leave or win 3 games and get fired. Like, there's a lot of people like that.
Oh, yeah. You can't change I'm surprised. Quite honestly,
there's a
I'm
huge
surprised.
Amount of people like yes. that. A lot of people that are friends of mine that have told me, you know, in DMs or in conversations, they're like, look, like, every time he comes up in the news, it's mentioned at all, they'll basically share the tweet and be like, just get out of here. And it's like, dude, he's like, I 6 months ago, if you asked me how long Satterfield's going to be here, I said, I'm not convinced he's going to be here for another 2 years. I said that then. I'm not sure where I stand right now, but I'm 100% willing to give him a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I'll believe it right now, but I'm going to be guarded. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna buy all the way in, and then, you know, put myself out there to be hurt again, Ethan. But, like, at this point, I told people when the flirtations came out and everything, I was like, you guys got to stop listening to coaches anyway.
Yeah.
Like, just stop putting your faith in coaches. They're professionals doing a job. And I'm not saying that they all lie, whatever, but, dude, if they're professionals doing a job, they get offered promotions a lot. The thing that hurt about the South Carolina job is the way he did it. and the perception that it wasn't a promotion from
that was
Louisville
a lie.
Fans. You know what?
Yes.
Oh, no, I just wanted to hit the sounder after you said lie.
Well, fair enough. But it's frankly with Louisville fans, you're not gonna hurt our feelings if you put in a good faith effort, leave the program better than you found it, and conduct yourself properly.
Sure.
When you leave for another job, it's when you do things, you know, behind closed doors, under the table, leaving after 2 years, I think sat poorly with a lot of people, especially mm-hmm. when they were sitting at 3-7 at the time. And it's just there were a lot of factors that made the flirtation hurt more or damage the relationship with the fan base and maybe the university more. It was all circumstance. It wasn't just that he looked at another job. Wasn't just that he had a conversation with another school. It was that he did it while being dishonest about it, and he did it after 2 years when they were 3-7.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm willing to move on. I just want to see the product on the field. I want to cheer for Louisville football. I want Satterfield to be the guy. I want him to be the guy. But there are so many people that don't.
Would your friends and that segment of the fan base, in your opinion, if there was, let's say Missouri went after him in this offseason, Louisville goes 8-4, 7-5.
His old offensive coordinator is the head coach at Missouri.
Drinkwitz.
He dips, and then Missouri comes after him. Satterfield turns Missouri down. Do you think if that happened, in addition to having a pretty good year, do you think that would speed up the process for earning trust back, or do you think that segment of the fan base, he can't do anything unless it's 9 or 10 wins?
I think it'll help with the rank and file, but I'm telling you, that group of people I'm talking about are just done.
Louisville football fan, listen, we're sensitive.
It's not the majority or anything, but there is a segment of the football fan base that just wants his tenure over, and it sucks. And those guys, you're not going to get back unless you win 10 games and you stay for 3 or 4 more years. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. they won't believe it till they see it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do to speed up time. Like, even if you win 10 games this year, they're just going to go, oh,
now he's definitely leaving.
They just won't buy back in. But they're also not the people that are spending a ton of money. Yeah. And they're not the people that, clearly, they weren't the people that were diehard to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. there's some that were pretty loyal football fans, and they're just been hurt so many times that they just don't, they're not going to get invested again. And at this point, they're just like, he doesn't want to be here.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that Tyree could say or Satterfield could say to convince them otherwise. I'm not saying that's me. I'm not saying that's the majority of the fan base, but there is a portion, there's a segment that is just out.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this last game of the year, the Governor's Cup. Louisville, of course, on the short
end. Never heard of it.
Louisville, of course, on the short end of the scoreboard the last 2 years in a big way, embarrassing defeats in the last two times the two teams have gotten together. How much pressure do you think he's under and the program is under to not lose 3 straight to them?
A fair amount. I mean, that's another thing that'll bring people back in. You know, the fact that, bless you, Jack. Look at him. Look at him in there sneezing. Bless you, buddy.
It's the dang alcohol on the hand sanitizer. You can just smell it.
Get you?
Yep.
That's another factor in this whole thing is that Louisville hasn't had a win in state on or off the football field against Kentucky in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, they win the recruiting battles they want to win in state right now. In the last two times, unfortunately, we didn't have a data point last year. And Kentucky was underwhelming. Who knows how the game would have gone at the end of the year? We were too. So, like, it probably wouldn't have been a bit of a slap fight. But, like, the 2 years before, obviously the Petrino game's the Petrino game.
Yeah.
It was absolute disaster. It counts. But, you know, like, we don't count that against Satterfield.
No.
But then he had an overachieving first season and still got just absolutely smacked by Kentucky, and it was embarrassing. They did it without a quarterback, really.
Mm-hmm.
They did it without throwing the ball. They did it by just shoving the ball down our throat.
Yeah.
For 4 quarters.
And they could have said, hey, we're going to run off left tackle. Yeah, this is what we're doing, and they still couldn't have stopped it.
They couldn't have stopped it. It was absolutely fundamental ass-whooping.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and I'll never say otherwise. There's no excuse for it. I don't care if it was the first season. It was really embarrassing, and there hasn't been any, even between the 4-7 year and the lack of a Kentucky game, there was no chance for redemption at all in the last year and a half, calendar year. So that's another factor for this. That also ratchets up the pressure.
Yeah,
people don't really care about the excuses at this point. He needs to... At the very least, this needs to be a good game. You know what I mean? Like the win, the pressure.
Do people
for,
care if they lose close? I mean, like
the pressure
I mean,
for the win is there, though. It's absolutely 100% there. And if he gets embarrassed again, it's going to be a real problem.
Oh, it'll be a massive problem, especially with the lack of success recruiting. I'm not even sweating the state. Like, Louisville has never done well recruiting the state.
Well, inside the city is what I'm more worried about.
And it has not trended well here recently as well. That's why I think the staff needs to land Selah Brown from Male.
Selah Brown, yeah.
So that
from which
be.
High school?
Male. There you go.
And which high school did you go to?
Male.
Yeah, I know. I just love it.
Oh. Because he's Manual, and then, you know, it's a big high school rivalry that I've forgotten about. So.
No, you hadn't.
Well, I mean, I don't.
No, you hadn't. It's Louisville.
Well,
you're
he and Taylor always just bring it up, and they, like, talk smack, and I'm like,
Taylor got up a Manual, too?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, but that's the whole, like, I think we should, as a fan base and as a program, all due respect, Kentucky, we should expect to beat them.
Yeah.
That should be where we're at. And Kentucky should expect to beat us. That's where they're at. You know, like, we should always expect to beat Kentucky, even when you look at the programs and go, they're definitely ahead of us right now. They've had a much better five-year span than we've had. But as a program, you can't fall far behind Kentucky.
No.
You just can't do it. That's not a recipe for any kind of success.
No.
If you're far behind Kentucky, you're not going to be finishing second or third in the Atlantic every year. You're not going to be doing that, which is where we need to be year in and year out. There needs to be an expectation of a win. Do I think it's going to happen this year? I don't know. I think the Vegas, you know, the early Vegas line is interesting. I think that there's so many unknowns.
Yeah. It's hard to handicap it this far out.
You can't. No, like, you ask me after week four and I'll give you an early prediction.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give you an early prediction before anybody's played a down of football, because there's a lot of things I like about
this
team.
Oh, this is Sports Radio. You have to do that.
What's the fun in not doing that? A lot of things. There's a lot of things to love about this team. There's a couple of big question marks. Kentucky's still a question mark at quarterback. It might be resolved. We'll see. But until I see a Kentucky offense that pushes the ball down the field and Stoops actually lets it happen, I'll buy that. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. And we've heard that story before.
Yeah. And I think, though, as much as it pains me to say, you have to credit Stoops and staff from building the lines on out.
Oh,
because
dude,
that is,
you know, I mean, you know, I do.
I mean, that is just, and that is why they've embarrassed Louisville, especially the last 2 years, because the discrepancy on the lines, it's like it's night and day. And you hope that Louisville was able to chip away over last season into this offseason, going into this year upcoming, it's at least a little bit better. I know Sat likes the depth, likes the guys on both lines, but I mean, I saw one ranking, some preseason ranking that had UK's offensive line number one in the SEC.
Yeah, let me couch what I just said, you know, about I'll believe the pushing the ball down the field when I see it with, if they do what they did 2 years ago, they don't have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they could have told us, like you said, pointed at a gap and said, we're running right there, and there was nothing we could do about it. Their offensive line was dominant. It's going to be good again this year. Really good. Their depth is superior on both sides of the ball, and that's where they've really made the difference. That's what's made the difference against Louisville the last couple of times they've played. The Petrino year notwithstanding, it didn't matter what else was going on.
Yeah, and that's going to be the biggest indicator for if Louisville can compete and win the game this year is, can their lines match UK's? And that's a very hard task with how good Kentucky is on the lines. They built everything they do off of their offensive and defensive lines, something that
which is what
is
I
unheard
love,
of,
by the way.
For a school like a Kentucky or a Louisville to do.
Like that is...
Their running back, Chris Rodriguez, is a tank.
What kills me the most about this is because all you
thing.
Have to do is listen to this state to me for 5 minutes, talk about football. You know I love, and value line play and preach it, preach the offensive line gospel, the Hog Molly gospel all the time. And I tell you exactly, you know, that's how you build winning football, is inside out, from the trenches. And Kentucky's done that. The program I hate the most has done that successfully, and I can do nothing but tip my cap to them at that. You know, like, I'm not scared of their coaching staff, really, as far as, you know, the play calling ability. I'm really not scared of their ability. Yeah, of their ability to utilize their skill position players. I'm not, but you don't have to do all that if you absolutely whoop somebody's ass in the trenches. You just don't. You don't have to be dynamic on offense. If you can line the ball, line up and shove the football down the other team's throat, there's nothing they can do about it. They don't need to throw the ball. Like it's incumbent on Louisville to have to make them throw the ball this year and to move the ball themselves and not turn the ball over. Like, they have to be able to get 3 to 4 yards when they run the ball on first down every single time. They can't be negative plays like there have been the last 2 years. That absolutely kills Louisville's offense, the way they try to construct the game flow.
I don't think Louisville was winning that game last year if they would have played it. I don't think it would have been particularly close, and Kentucky wasn't a very good football team last year.
Tutu and Javion were opted out. Yeah, so
Even if it was just a normal year and there wasn't COVID, you look at Louisville's offensive and defensive lines, and
they were disappointed.
It was going to be the same story again in terms of Kentucky didn't need to throw the ball. Terry Wilson could have had 17 yards passing, and they could have won the game 34-7.
That's probably what would have happened.
Yeah. And that's a problem. If you just rewind 5 years, and it's just like we chalked up the Kentucky game as a win. We're not saying, which was smart, what you just said. We're not saying, well, let's see more data into week four. We're saying, oh, that's a win. And now that's not the case.
Which, while you have to give Stoops credit for what he's done, especially on the line.
I do.
And he's done great things at Kentucky. He's done a lot of things that a lot of people thought were impossible to do at Kentucky. But that mindset for Louisville fans, though, viewing that game, is all about Louisville and its program and not about what Stoops has done at Kentucky.
I used to make fun of Stoops and poke him because it was pretty easy. You know what I mean? Like, the Buttermilk Stoops. And about 2 or 3 years ago, I stopped. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't beat him, and he's absolutely working you, and he's found a way to build a program from the inside out, and he's really attracting an incredible amount of offensive line talent, like, I'll respect that just baseline without anything else. Do I fear the play calling from that staff? No. Do I fear the way they use their skill position players? No. But if we can't stop them on the ground, none of that matters. Yeah. And if we can't move the ball on them regularly, consistently for four quarters, none of that matters.
Get that defense.
I respect what they are 100%. This is not that you will get nothing but respect from me, but it doesn't change the fact that if Louisville is the program or wants to be the program they think they are, they better put Kentucky in the rearview mirror at some point.
Yeah. And they need to protect the home field. Yeah. It's here. You need to win at home. There's no doubt about
They're not right now. Kentucky's got us in the rearview right now. That's, let me be completely clear.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of Kentucky fans getting chesty on the text line. We'll read those when we come back. You're listening to The Take right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
You're listening to The Take
with Ethan Moore.
Dr. Klein, how are you, sir? I'm looking forward to talking to you about the coronavirus this week. Lots of developments.
Yeah, it's like every week. It's a busy week, and I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Did you have a good Christmas before we get into everything? Did you have a good holiday?
I mean, how dumb he was after he murdered those people.
I know.
And Biggest Biscuit, also known as Dave Skull.
Well, you know, I'm Jewish, so
all right, here you go.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back into The Take right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 Ethan Moore, Dave Skull, Jack Roston behind the glass. We're filling in for Sweeney and Strebel as we close out your work week. A variety of topics here. We've shied away a lot from the conference realignment. We're taking a break. Talking Louisville and Kentucky football, the pressure on the UofL program, quite frankly, and Coach Satterfield and staff to get a win over UK. And they're just 0-1. But like you said, with the COVID cancellation of the game, there's no data point. And then when you get smoked the last two times these teams have taken the field, you get some chesty Kentucky fans. And that's
be
what,
chesty.
Seriously. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you. Honestly, like they're allowed to be chesty right now. The last two times we played them, we got absolutely smoked.
Do you think, though, that Louisville's on deck to get rolled again?
I don't think so. It feels like we're going in the right direction. Yeah. I don't think that Kentucky, like I look at that last game and the circumstances, the line depth, you know, the issues, it was kind of a perfect storm. I don't think our defense is going to play nearly that bad. I think our defense has taken two giant steps forward since then, which is the biggest difference. The biggest difference mm-hmm. between that team and this team is the defense. Third year under Brian Brown, I think that we've got two or three players that could potentially be, really four players that could potentially be all ACC first teamers, depending on how, I don't think they're all going to be, but mm-hmm. I think there's four guys that have that potential. Personally, I think C.J. Avery and Keytrell Clark are going to be first teamers, and Kendrick Duncan could possibly push. He's going to be that type of player.
I love our linebacking core and our secondary.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we have good depth up front. So even if we don't have high-end talent, like I think Yaya Diaby is really good, but even if we don't have high-end talent, we've got bodies to throw at it.
They've got to get pressure on the quarter. They've got to get sacks. They've got to generate
pressure. You have to be able to generate pressure without blitzing, which we haven't done really almost at all the last two seasons.
And then you're opening up with Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And the high power offense.
We'll learn a lot the first couple weeks. We will learn a lot about this team. I think the defense is going to be much improved, which is the main reason why I don't think a one-dimensional offense is going to be able to absolutely smoke us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I think that even if they look better in the trenches, I don't think it's going to be the same type of atmosphere that it was two seasons ago.
And I don't know, and this has nothing to do with Louisville's defense. It's just a credit to Ole Miss and how good they are and how fast they play. It's such a tough offense.
Oh, it's awful.
To play against. 100%. No matter how much time you get to prepare for it, it's difficult. The one thing though, where I think Louisville will have a big advantage is on the other side of the ball. That defense is atrocious, man. And you look at it, and teams could just run down their throats all year last year. That's all anyone did. That's all they had to do. You didn't have to throw the ball unless you're Alabama and chose to throw the ball anyways. But it was
however you want when you're Alabama.
Yeah, no, seriously. But
choose your own adventure.
But yeah, the reason Indiana lost the bowl game was because they tried to keep throwing the ball for whatever reason, which was incredibly stupid with the backup quarterback.
But Louisville's best defense is going to be: can you run the ball, move the chains, and keep Ole Miss's offense off the field?
Which they should be able to do. Which that's what I mean. Sats' bread and butter is running the football. What they're going to do this year, all we've heard is that they're going to run the crap out of the football. Yeah. That means I really think it's going to be a really high scoring back and forth game to where I don't think Louisville gets blown out. I don't know if they win the game, but
you're talking about Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Ole Miss game.
We were kind of talking about both at the same time, like Ole Miss and Kentucky. I mean,
they're two very different teams.
100%. But I'm saying,
I don't know if you can find a 180 bigger than Ole Miss.
We were focusing on the Kentucky game. We mentioned the Ole Miss game to start off, but
Interested in the Ole Miss game than the Kentucky game
The first four games are going to tell us a lot about Louisville. A lot about Louisville.
The
car's got to
be 2-2 as well. I mean, if you're 1-3 in the first four, it's going to be tough.
And you flip it on the other side. Like I am a believer in this offensive line depth. I am. I think that Trevor Reed asserting himself and grabbing that left tackle spot does a lot for this offense. You move Adonis Boone around a little bit. He can still play tackle. But he's probably going to snatch one of those guard spots.
You got Brian Hudson. Very versatile.
Which wasn't. I think he didn't. He wasn't listed as a starter yesterday after Satterfield called him a starter.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. But Brian Hudson, you know, Cole Bentley, Caleb Chandler, who I'm remain high on, and Ronald Brown at that right tackle spot. But Cam DeGeorge is still around the program, I think. Maybe.
That's good. I was going to ask you about that. I've heard the name, and have we heard one way or the other?
I thought he walked away.
I was under that assumption as well.
And then I started seeing his name pop up again. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But regardless, without him, Adonis Moon can play both tackle spots if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And Renato Brown obviously has all those starts under his belt. And even though he was kind of up and down last year, both of them were. I'm sure he'll settle in a little bit with experience. So we've got 8 or 9 bodies. On that O-line. We got 8 or 9.
All right, so I have a texter calling me out and said, I'll bet Ethan Ahundo that UK smashes Louisville.
Smash? What's the definition of smash?
So, texter, what's the definition
of smash?
Are you saying 21 or more? All right, give me your
definition. Smash feels like 3 scores.
Yeah.
That's what that smells like.
Louisville perception that it's a better program is a joke, Texter says. The history of the Governor's Cup is one streak after another. UofL fans forgot UK ran 4 straight from 2007 to 2010. Yeah, 3 of those were Craig Cooper, whatever. One,
we didn't forget.
Yeah, we didn't forget. However, I'm going to push back on that. Louisville football is the better program. UK's been the better team recently.
Yeah.
But overall, Louisville's the better program. More top 10 finishes, more bowl wins, better bowl wins, more NFL talent. I mean, you see.
Also lead the modern series, regardless of the streaky nature of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations. You won the first 6 in the 1900s when they didn't even have helmets and shoulder pads. Louisville's the better football program. UK has been the better team recently.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And more importantly than that, we should be.
Yeah.
The better program. You can say whatever you want. We should be at this point. Whether we're the better team or not, we should expect to be, which was our whole point. Expectations, we should expect to be the better program in the state. We should expect to be.
Yeah. And then, you know,
Kentucky should expect. Like, that's what it, if it's about expectations, Kentucky should expect to be better too.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of these programs should capitulate to the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you can get chesty and talk. You should when you win 2 in a row by those combined scores.
I'd be doing the same thing.
Louisville gets chesty when we win 3 or 4 in a row. Like, that's how it should be. But neither team should roll over for the other one or not expect to win that game.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
That's not where you're
period.
At.
Period. Yeah, poor Taylor. And I know I've said this before. I think it was on LSL at some point. But for me, when you look at the Louisville-Kentucky rivalry on the football side, and you look at, yes, it has been incredibly streaky, but more often than not, the streakiness of it has been fully dependent on how good Louisville football is.
Yeah.
And when Louisville football is good and Kentucky football is good, Louisville's usually better than Kentucky. If they're both bad, the game's a crapshoot. If Louisville's bad and Kentucky's good, Kentucky wins the game. But
more often than not, Louisville has been the better team.
Yeah, and I think a perfect example of it would be the Orange Bowl year for Louisville. That was one of Rich Brooks' best teams. They went, 8-5 that year? They I think that was the year before they went and beat LSU, who was the number one team in the country, and had the CV Got Loose game. It was the year before that, but that was a really good Kentucky team, but Louisville's team was better, and Louisville at the top of their game is better at Kentucky at the top of their game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as much as it pains me to say, when you had
And yes, the Lamar Jackson game is the exception to that rule before someone in Texas.
The Super Bowl that they still reference with Lamar fumbling. I mean, Louisville was 26 and a half. And they blew it. And you have to credit Kentucky in that situation because they schemed and game planned. You knew that first touchdown bomb that was wide open, that they had seen that on film, and for whatever reason that was on the tail end of Louisville's late season swoon when they started 9-1 and then forgot how to play football the last 3 games of that season. But you credit them because they made plays, they schemed for it, they took the game seriously, a lot more serious than Louisville did, and they came out and won. And that's kind of turn the tide. But remember, I mean, Louisville's the last 9 games of this series, Louisville's won 6 of them. So it's just kind of, you need to remember that now. You could also, you know, choose your numbers as a Kentucky fan will say, well, UK has won three of the last four. That's true, too. But, you know, that's part of the rivalry, though.
For sure.
It goes with what you just said about, you know, listen, both teams should expect to win year in, year out.
Yes. Like, this is not a what's a good comparison in a football rivalry? Like, I can't even think of one, like a good in-state comparison.
Like maybe Ole Miss, Mississippi State?
But they both probably expect to win every year, too. They do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even...
That's
even,
where I was going with. I didn't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, one where it's just lopsided as hell.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Right, but you know Michigan fans expect to win. Maybe they don't expect to win, but they feel like they should expect to win.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, they're going to fire Harbaugh over him not winning.
They're going to fire Harbaugh every off. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It's... I think they're so confused about what they want because like Ennis said over and over again, they're going to fire Harbaugh to hire Harbaugh. You know, like they're looking for a Michigan man who has a history of success. Like that's just it's they found their guy. It's just not working out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, man, we're in a weird place as Louisville fans because you really. Dude, there's the facts are the facts. We got absolutely blasted the last two times we played.
Embarrassed.
Didn't play last year, you know. But I don't know how much different it would have been.
I think if we're being honest, Louisville doesn't win that game.
Oh, I don't think we're going to win that game. No, I don't know. I don't know. It's just a question of whether it was going to be embarrassing or not because we were in all sorts of trouble last year.
Do you have a bunch of texts if we want to get to some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things where there's no data point from last season. We're still
the
losing.
Data point would have been bad for Louisville last season.
We could say that, but there's just not a real one. You know what I'm saying? So the last one we've got. Is an ass kicking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So even regardless of what would have happened last year, the last two actual games that we have are absolute embarrassments for Louisville. Period. I'm just saying like there was no chance at redemption last year. I'm not saying we'd have won the game. I'm not saying it would have been close. I don't know, but he had absolutely no chance at it. So the last thing we've got is a sour taste in our mouth from an absolute just ass kicking two years ago. And then on top of that, off the field in the state of Kentucky. In the city of Louisville, when's the last time we really won a recruiting battle against Kentucky? An actual recruiting battle.
You would have to go to Jordan Watkins, who was first committed to Kentucky, then flipped.
There you go. There's one. But the historically the amazing, historically good class, the golden Bush. Generation 3 years ago when we had, you know, five four-stars inside
J.J.
the Gene
Weaver,
Snyder, and we didn't get any of them.
And that was just, I mean... Right then,
we got Aiden
there.
Robbins, but he wasn't one of the top eight or nine recruits in that class.
Manual guy,
I know.
But I mean, Petrino—that's the one thing too. I mean, if not just the abhorrent play on the field, but the lack of recruiting, and to allow your
arch rival. Do we really
have
to relitigate this? Because you have to reopen this wound because it's the
okay.
Worst.
Let's just go back to the
that
text
whole
line,
thing. That is such coaching malpractice. I don't even want to talk. Like he, I don't care. Anybody who is even. Tries to bring it up, I'm saying like and act like it wasn't anything but not you. Get back up in your chair. Was anything other than coaching malpractice when they try to look? Well, look at what he's doing. Like, no, he didn't care anymore. He didn't try anymore. He wasn't in any of the high schools around here. He had no existing relationships with any of the schools in Kentucky. Let's move on. I don't want to hear that guy's name today.
UBS Jobs text line.
It's the first text.
437-9680. It is not. Well, maybe when I update it, but the last four UofL UK games, the spread versus result have been as far off as humanly possible.
Yes.
Right about that.
Spreads haven't been close to the actual results. Texter says UK had 400 rushing yards against Ole Miss with three different guys going over 300. That is true. Texter says Louisville has a Heisman winner.
That's right.
Yep. Texter says.
I guess that's about the program. Okay.
Yeah. Texter says Cards need to kick the Cayutes in their teeth. Satt and company better show up, or Vince needs to hand them some walking papers immediately afterwards. Texter says Louisville versus Kentucky is the best ACC SEC rivalry. Texter says Lynn Bowden is your daddy.
Ugh.
Hey. Well.
Texter says. Says, love the excuse of that Louisville didn't care is why they lost with Lamar.
I've never heard that excuse.
Who said that?
Louisville cared.
Who said that?
Texter.
No. No, I'm saying, like, who said that on this radio show?
I don't know.
No.
I certainly didn't.
So, but
I hate that excuse.
Like, I take an exception to this one. LOL at calling UofL the better football program when they have no national titles like UK, nor do they have one win versus the number one team.
UK lost like five games the year they won the quote unquote won.
UK doesn't have a national title in football.
Self-respecting fan claims the computer title that they pulled out of their ass in 2005 or 2006 from the 1952 season. It doesn't count. It's not a national title.
They were not recognized
as a national champion in 1950 or any time afterwards.
They finished seventh in the AP and the coaches' poll.
Yeah, that sounds like a national champion to me. Which they were 11-1.
Phenomenal season.
Great.
Probably the best season Kentucky's ever had.
Awesome.
But
they beat the number one team in LSU.
Nobody actually believes they have a national championship.
2007.
That guy's got to be trolling, right? Got to be trolling.
Maybe.
Right? I don't know any Kentucky fans that actually believe they have a football national championship.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. Any more text there, Jack? Interesting text.
Texter says if Louisville's the better program, at what point will it no longer be acceptable to win fewer games than UK?
It's not acceptable right now.
No, never.
Texter says Ethan, the Discord's talking bad about you right now.
gotta alert the Cats fans.
Yeah, I got a DM from Tank, and he's like, what did he say? He's delusional. You can tell him I said that.
Texter says great. you all have been pretty
that's
reasonable.
That's the mean Texter, then. It's got to be, right?
Just look at it from UK's side. Tell me where U of L is better than UK. I will give you QB because we don't know, but everything else UK.
We're not.
In terms of like just matching up this year.
I mean, UK's got the decided advantage on the lines. I think Louisville.
When have they ever properly used a receiver, and why is it even relevant if they can't throw the ball to them?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Give the edge to Louisville and quarterback receiver. UK gets the edge on both lines.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary, the UK lost a lot. I don't know. I mean, yeah. On paper, it's one of those things. It's too early to tell.
Honestly.
Texter says, did the hot dog odds maker also set the recruiting rankings for the Super Six?
That was from yesterday, wasn't it?
I'm glad you saw that, though, because that was maybe my favorite text
from yesterday.
And Texter says, the rivalry evens out because of runs. I would like for both of us to have good teams to make the games better. That would be ideal. If both teams were really good, that would be the best thing for the rivalry, correct?
No, Louisville winning every game would be the best.
Man, I gotta agree.
I mean, I don't want Kentucky beating Louisville ever. I mean, if Petrino 1.0, 4.0,
if you're looking at it objectively, take the Louisville fan hat off, the Kentucky glasses off.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. No. Nah, I'm not never gonna say, you know what? Both teams can be awesome.
Wouldn't it be better for Louisville to win the game if they're winning over a top 15 Kentucky team instead of a 3-8 Kentucky team?
0-11, 0-12. That'd be even better. I mean,
I tried. I tried.
Well, with Stoops,
I'm not getting in it. I'm just not.
With the Stoops non-conference scheduling, UK would be 3-9. You get Charleston Southern, New Mexico State, and you know what? Ball State, or whatever.
Obviously, I'm not saying that Louisville fans should be rooting for Kentucky and Kentucky fans should be rooting for Louisville in their other games.
Yeah, if you're a college football fan and you like rivalries, and if both teams, you know, had their back and forth like this rivalry does, I can see that. But as a Louisville fan,
this is more of a talking point on the basketball side.
It's not competitive though on the basketball side. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Football. I want to be able to talk smack.
Well, Louisville's won more recently in basketball than they have in football.
There you go. There you go.
The boy's right, Ethan.
So, yeah, I want to talk smack. And I can talk smack rivalry-wise with football because Louisville pulls its weight. Basketball, not so much.
Louisville's won more recently in basketball.
Well, I'll take you up on that, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you rather beat a top five Kentucky basketball team? No, I'd rather beat a 9-16 team because you can make fun of them 16 times as opposed to twice when they lose. That's just me.
He's right, though.
I know. From a
We can't. This is an interesting text. We can't say either program is better than the other until the game isn't at noon on ESPNU. Or now it's either the SEC.
Man,
the
SEC Network or ACC Network.
That was Jeff Greer texting in. He's just, it's amazing when he gets just frustrated. When we start talking about football at any time other than a football week, he's just like, why are we talking about two bad football teams? Why? It's like, because you're in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a college market. We're only like 6 weeks away from games. Deal with it. Like, dude, you made your home in Louisville. You're doing sports radio in Louisville, Jeff.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have to talk about two bad football teams and hope they get good.
To be fair, though, we still talk more basketball than football here.
Well, sure, but it's July. You know what I'm saying? We're 6 weeks away from the football.
And we have just started talking football.
Yeah.
A week ago, all we were talking about was Kofi Coburn and Marcus Carr.
So we can't pitch a fit like the first day we start talking about football, that we're talking about too much football.
Yeah. You can, I mean,
talk about all the football.
Yeah.
Well, I'm football.
Football.
Talk about football.
This is an interesting text, and this is sets up for a great debate, in my opinion. Texter says, where is the UofL idea of a better program come from? UK has better facilities.
I mean,
conference.
Not really.
No, yeah, conference, yeah. You were playing at Cardinal Stadium through the 90s. You have been to one Orange Bowl and a Sugar Bowl and a Fiesta Bowl. UK has won three of the last four. True. You have your red-colored glasses on. So wrong here. I mean,
I don't know. You just picked a kind of a cherry-picked a few stats and left a few out.
Yeah. I mean, Louisville's beaten Florida, who up until recently UK could not beat.
Hammer spanked Florida.
Yeah, they did. You have more top 10 finishes because you play in the ACC and UK has some of the toughest schedules year after year.
Yeah, but they spent 50 years going 4-8 against that and 4-7 against that schedule. Like it's I don't think you get program status by being a doormat in a great league.
You don't.
I don't think you do, and that's what you were. Like, you're having a great run right now.
You've had one winning record in the SEC
years. Here to talk trash about it. I'm really not. Like, dude, you guys have your boot on the throat right now. It's fine. You're having a great run. Awesome. What does it tell you that you weren't even a threat to win the East, really, last year? You went 4-6.
Just right for the picking, too.
Yeah, and got beat up by a few teams that you beat the year before. Like, it's just, dude, it's...
I remember, though...
If you're a traditional floor mat.
Yeah.
You're a doormat in that league.
Doormat, floor mat.
Whatever. You're all
door
the mats.
Door floor mat.
Yeah, mat.
I just remember
mat?
Biscuit back in the CUSA days. And the vibe from the program in Louisville would go up there and smack him in Conference USA. Well, if we can't beat a team from Conference USA, how are we going to compete in the SEC? You never did.
Right.
Now, 3 years ago, you went 10-3. That was a fantastic year. And I will certainly eat crow. I never would have protected UK winning 10 games before Louisville in football under Petrino 2.0.
Right, right, right.
Especially with Lamar, you know, his Heisman season, an absolute waste. The 2 years Lamar Jackson was the full-time starter, Louisville lost 9 games.
That's an abomination.
It is. No more Petrino talk, just for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Steam
you,
coming
said
out
his
of
name, you said his name again.
Sorry.
But no, look, dude, all the credit in the world, but where does the idea that they're a good program come from?
The one good season they've had in the SEC.
Their affiliation. That's it.
Yeah.
It's the conference affiliation. That's all. They've always had conference affiliation, and we've hopped around from conference and independence back to conference looking for a place.
Everybody wants a piece of UofL.
We've got it. that's the spin. That's the spin right there. But now we're, you know what I'm saying. Now we've got a permanent home, hopefully, fingers crossed. And it's a little different. The conversation's a little different. But you can't discount all success because it came while we were a member of a lesser conference.
Exactly.
Because when we made the bowl games, we beat the teams we were put up against.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
That is what it is.
A 14-point underdog to Florida in the Sugar Bowl. Louisville smacked them. All right, hour number two is in the books. Hour number three, straight ahead, also an Olympic update as well. Keep it locked right here on 105.7 and 680.